Okay, good morning. We are in our second round of discussing brachos. Last week we talked about the text of the blessing, each word, a couple of words, and the significance that it has, and things we can think about while we're making the bracha. So every time you're about to eat an apple, it's going to take you half an hour to think about all the things we discussed, and then you can take your bite. And so now we're getting into the world of brachot, the depth of making brachot. And Rav Volbi starts out, we have two pages with us. We've got the cover page and the next one on page 111, but there's no page number, and then 112. And so we're underneath our little star collection. And Rav Volbi said, Volbi has us look at the start of Moshe Rabbeinu's career. You know, we're now in our parshas, we're at the sunset of his career. He's, to some extent, in our storyline on his way out. I'll start to ruin the parsha for you, but it's what's coming. It's like Harry Potter. If there's a certain amount of time that you had to read it, and afterward everyone's allowed to talk, if you haven't read it at this point, then sorry. But we see about two different instances, both when it came to hitting the water to create the first plague of Dam, of blood, and when it came to hitting the ground to create the plague of Kinim, and also hitting the ground when it came to making the Sfardeas. Moshe did not want to hit the ground, did not want to hit the water. And why? This is a Rashi, this is commonly part of the story. Out of Hakar Satov, out of gratitude for the ground and for the water that saved him when he was a child and when he killed the Egyptian before he left Egypt the first time around and needed to hide the Egyptian somewhere, the ground saved him. So out of that Hakar Satov, out of that appreciation and gratitude to an inanimate object, Moshe's like, I don't know that I feel comfortable doing this. And so Aaron has to jump in. And the question that always comes up is, like, really? Like, it's an inanimate object. Why do you need to be so grateful and show such gratitude to something that doesn't have feelings, that doesn't move, that's totally not in this world? And yet, the lesson we take from Moshe is that gratitude is really not about the other. Gratitude is oftentimes about ourselves, that our ability to show gratitude, our ability to be appreciative, is really why we're in it, and not necessarily if anyone gains anything. A lot of times you'll have people who, you know, it's an easy to do a favor. You're a big CEO, you know a lot of people, you're a big person in the community. It's very easy to make connections and, you know, set someone up with a job or find them somewhere to go for Shabbos, whatever the case. And it's not a big deal for me to do it. I'm a big deal. But for the person receiving it, it's huge. And so our obligation and our expectation to say thank you is consistent with what we received, even if it's not consistent with the effort that was put in. So while I might not need to put a lot of effort in to help someone, that them receiving that effort, they want to show a lot of gratitude because it's not about what I did for them, it's about what they received. Hakar Satov is much more so about me internally than it is about what someone did for me. And so Moshe recognized how much the ground and the sand helped him, and he says, I can't do anything to them. I can't. Now we're going to actually jump into what Rav Volbi says. We are on line 28 in that second section. He says, "L'lamedcha derech eretz." Why is Moshe doing this? He's going to teach us derech eretz. "Bira deshasis minei al tishti bekala." If you drink from a well, from a water, you don't throw rocks back into it. If you gain from something, you're not going to make it gross. You're not going to spit on it. You're not going to hit it and turn it into a whole plague that's going to terrorize the Jewish people. And we continue. It says, "Mafli ad hechan chiyuv hakar satov magia she'en zeh chashuv klal im osa tova margish ba ola." Doesn't matter if the person was putting a lot of effort into make you feel good. That's not the point of this. Hare gam legabe mayim v'chol yesh lisnag bakar satov. Even for such these kind of things, for inanimate objects, we want to have a kar satov. V'al ha'kamura b'ayshib ha'kamuros. On top of the next page. Mitzvahs kivit ave'im. And katzav ha'chinuk. Ki shar shahu ha'kar satov. Amar miyata ki midah zu hida mishar shahadam. What's the ultimate mitzvah of ha'kar satov? Kivit ave'im. Honoring our parents. And you could wonder, why is that ha'kar satov? You could say that we have a mitzvah, kivit ave'im. Where does that get into ha'kar satov? We see it halakhically, because there's a halakha question that comes up. In two contexts, if someone's adopted, then they were never birthed by their parents. There's no natural connection. Like the Gemara in Yevamos says that when a child's born, there are three partners: there's mommy, daddy, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you, so too your parents did, and so you have to honor all three of them. Well, if I'm adopted, that didn't happen. And even more so, what if mommy's Jewish and so I'm Jewish because we follow the female line? What if dad's not Jewish? If dad's not Jewish, does that mean, is there some difference of Kivud Aveim? And Rav Moshe Feinstein got the Shiloh, Rav Avadi Yosef got the Shiloh, and then both of them said that Kivud Aveim, as we see in the Chinuch that Rav Volbi's quoting, is based off of Hakaras HaTov. It's based off of gratitude. And so if it's based off gratitude, if someone raised you, whether they physically birthed you into this world, whether they're spiritually your parent or not, and we say that someone who converts, they're like a newborn baby. They are in some ways not connected to their parents anymore. Can a man still hug his mother? She's a random woman now, halakhically, as far as he's concerned. Halakhically, you can have siblings who convert and get married. We don't do that, and we make gedarim that you're not that can happen. But halakhically, in the base halakha min haTorah, you can, because you're totally part of a new family. So can someone who converts give hugs to their mother? Are they allowed to be alone together? There's a violation to be in yichud, to be in private. Can we close that? Thank you. Do those things apply? Rav Moshe and Rav Avadi Yosef, in a few different contexts, say no, without question, because Kivud Aveim comes from Hakaras HaTov. It comes from that gratitude of what a person did for you. And with all that buildup of appreciating gratitude, the question that Rav Volbi is really showing us is not why would I make brachos, why do I make brachos, when do I make brachos, but how could I not make brachos all the time? That there are so many parts of who we are that are built toward gratitude, built toward Hakaras HaTov. And so as soon as I have an opportunity to, I'm going to look to make a bracha, like our story with the Hasidic Rebbe last week, which I saw was from Rav Aaron of Karlin, who wrote Ka Exo, for anyone who's familiar, which is my favorite Shabbos song. But when that you want to make a bracha so badly, you'll go and find a reason to make a bracha. And because you're just so full of recognition, of gratitude toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Volbi continues. We're now in the top of the next page, second paragraph. Anyone who doesn't appreciate what their friends do for them, they're not going to be able to appreciate what God does for them. Someone who regularly just receives things as if they were supposed to get it, they're not going to be appreciative. They don't have the refinedness of character to be able to feel gratitude to someone for giving them something. If you think everything's coming to you, then how in the world are you ever going to be appreciative? And we see this with Leah. Leah, the first of Yaakov's wives, has three children. Ultimately, she'll have six. And you know, there are four wives, and there are supposed to be 12 children. How they know all this was a conversation for another time, and kind of weird and fascinating. How like everyone had like equal Ruach HaKodesh, and everyone seems to know what's going on, even though none of it's in front of them. But Leah has three kids, and she's about to have her fourth kid. She realizes that she's going to have more children than her fair share, because she's only supposed to have three. All the four wives should only have three. That's basic math, even though we're in the summertime, and. And so Leah has her fourth kid. She names him Yehuda. And she says, "Hapam odes Hashem. At this time, I'm going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu." The Gemara tells us that Leah was the first to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, hold on. Abraham brought karbanos. We see multiple instances in which he builds a mizbeach and thanks God. And we see all these different cases where people thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so how in the world is this the first time that someone thanked Hashem? And this is a property of our Torah. You'll probably hear it around this parsha time. But the basic approach that we take is Leah recognized that this wasn't supposed to come to her. It wasn't Magili. I shouldn't have received it. I recognize that I'm getting more than what's coming to me. But when people have expectations of what they're supposed to get, that this is what I'm supposed to have, then that's a thank you, but it's not the same kind of thank you. You know, when a kid thanks their parents for giving them food at night, like, thanks, Mom, but it's not so impressive. It's not so crazy. But when you realize you're getting something above and beyond, when you go out to dinner, ooh. Then it's above and beyond. When it's clear that there are a gazillion things going on and still the kid has dinner, then usually they don't recognize anyway. But ideally, they'll recognize, and that's a big thank you. That's a Pam Odes Hashem. I'm really going to say thank you. And so Leah names Yehuda, and so every time she talks to him, every single time she interacts with her son, she's recognizing that this is special. This is an extra gift that that I wasn't supposed to have. And so even when she's yelling at him, say, Yehuda, pick up your book bag, Yehuda, clean your room. Every time she's saying, thank you, while also yelling at her son. And if we just look at our Hakara Satov as being base level of, well, I'm supposed to get these things. Everyone I know has this, and so I should also have it. Then we're missing it. Leia saw that I didn't really deserve it. I didn't really get it. Oh, I'm going above and beyond. I want more. And Revolvi continues and says, and says, we're going to, so, never mind, it's not in here, sorry. Revolvi talks about Yisro. Yisro comes in. Yisro says, Baruch Hashem, when he's talking to Moshe after hearing about all the miracles that took place to the Jewish people. And the Gemara says that Yisro was the first person to thank Hashem. We just had it to our Torah 2 seconds ago about how Leia is the first person. And so Yisro is another level, because Yisro is looking around and saying, this is what God did to someone else. Because there's a level of gratitude and there's a level of recognition of just, wow, this is in the world. It didn't impact me at all. Yisro didn't benefit from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Only Am Yisrael did. But he comes and hears about all of it and says, Baruch Hashem, that's so amazing. And one of the things that Revolvi is getting at is that there's an idea of making brachos internally, but there's also an idea of making brachos as just recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing things. Making brachos for other people, not literally, but of seeing other people's brachos, of having that recognition and vision and sight and constancy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even when good things are happening to someone else, we say, wow, that's so amazing, that's so wonderful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so good to them, that's great. And that gets very tricky, and sometimes we get a little bit jealous, but if we can remove that jealousy and just see the happiness in someone else, that's a tremendous opportunity to not just see the bracha in our lives, but to see the bracha in the whole world. Well, there are often, so many times there are people tell speeches about the incredible things that happened to them. And for a while, I didn't like listening to them, because I'm like, what do I need to hear? Some miraculous story of somebody else. But my wife loves listening to them, and she's like, yeah, it's an appreciation of the tremendous things that Kadosh Baruch Hu does. It's that all these things fit together so that this person who was over there and they were on the other side of the world, they met someone who they weren't supposed to meet, and they all came together and everyone was happy in the end. And that's basically the whole story anytime someone gets up to tell it to you. But it's an appreciation that God does a lot of things to make this world better for all of us, not just me, but for everybody. And so we might not be making a bracha, but it's a recognition, because every bracha we're making is just another recognition, another time where we're saying, wow, that's really amazing. Wow, it's so incredible that God does that. And so we continue. And we say, we skip to line 10. Avoda gedola chayavnu chazal. Chazal gave us a very big job. Levarach mea brachos bayoma, to make 100 blessings in one day. Lakso mea pa'am bayom al emes, to return onto the emes, to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu on a day 100 times a day. Ki Hashem Elokeinu hu melech ha'olam, God is the runner and creator of the world. Hu shenasa lanu kol ana, and he gives us everything. V'yas ha'guf, v'yas ha'neshama, v'yas ha'torah, v'yas ha'mitzvos. He gives our bodies, he gives our souls. He gives us Torah and he gives us mitzvos. And there's a fun story with Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler, he was the mashgiach in Panovich Yeshiva. He was as much of a Rosh Yeshiva personality as you can imagine. So he didn't go out that often to regular places, but he's meeting one of his supporters, and then they meet for coffee. So they go to a place, and he didn't go to Starbucks per se, but it's safe to assume they went to Starbucks, because as the story goes, they sit down, Rav Dessler orders tea, the lady comes over and gives him his cup with the tea, and he finds out that tea costs $6. And he goes, excuse me, ma'am, I'm just wondering, why is this $6? It's some hot water and some tea. And she says, so you got to understand, we here at Starbucks have created something called the third space, which is actually very interesting. That the third space is this notion that it's not work, it's not home, it's somewhere in between where you can hang out, but you can also work, and that's totally acceptable. And now there are a ton of people who literally work out of Starbucks. I have a friend who works out of Starbucks. And so she's explaining, sir, we've created a third space. When you buy Starbucks coffee, you're not just paying for the finest coffees in the land, you're also paying for the ambiance, the environment, the music, the nice tables and all the things, the comfy chairs. You don't just pay for exactly what you're getting. When we're making brachos, we're not just saying, thank you, God, for the apple. And apple's always our example for some reason. But thank you, God, for the apple. We're also just recognizing all of the things. And so I've tried doing this, and it's not easy, but there are a few times in our lives where, throughout our days, where there are a lot of times we might make brachos, a lot of appreciations that we have, but maybe we already davened or we're not going to have time to daven for a while, and so we try to remember them, and we always forget. But like, mincha is at 8 o'clock tonight, and so if something happens to me at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to remember 10 hours later, oh, this is something I was really appreciative for, something I was really happy about. I want to say thank you in person during Shemona Esrei. So what I started doing, when possible, is to make a bracha at that moment, at that time. And even if it's not as full, it's as elaborate, at that moment where I'm recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something, God created this water, usually it's water, I'm also having the chance to recognize the full ambiance of my existence, the full setup that I've experienced from God. And so this notion of making 100 brachos is about trying to find 100 different times when we can recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu in our lives, create that constancy in our lives where all the time, I mean, if you're going to make 100 brachos in a day, it's actually not that much. If you pray three times a day, then you don't have to do that many things. Like you go to the bathroom a few times and say Asher Etzer, you eat two. Nobody washes two meals a day anymore. But if you wash two meals a day, then you're basically done. But trying to fill in as many brachos as you can on a daily basis, you're constantly thinking about how can I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my lives? Where can I find that hidden HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Which leads us to, I know, we're going to finish this, and then it'll lead us to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says something fascinating. Rav Volbe continues in the middle of line 13. He says, Ulam, however, Yesod HaAvoda HaZot, the foundation of making brachos is that recognizing of the good in the world. And now in line 14, midazu in a nifredes lachalik shebein adam lamakum lachalik shebein adam lachavero. And making brachos is not just a me and God thing, because recognizing the good that someone else does for me, that's developing my interpersonal relationships also. Hamida achasi, this singular mida, v'akover b'tavaso shachavero, and someone who doesn't appreciate what their friend does for them. So for lichvor b'tavaso shalakarish baruch hu, ultimately, they're not going to appreciate God either. Iluzos hakdama hachanuchis la'avodas birchas hananin hi midas hakaras hatov. And so the foundational, the number one base level way that we develop birchas hananin is by making blessings is by recognizing the good that someone does for us. And so a lot of times I'll do this when I'm working with people who aren't yet observant, people like to say. People who don't have such a strong connection to like clear, explicit mitzvot and Torah, I'll talk to them about things that they can develop, things they can do. And so a lot of times it'll come up with how people use their language. Yiddishkeit is very, very machped on how we speak. We don't just throw out words randomly. And so oftentimes I'll have a conversation about, you know, you like using certain four-letter words. Are there other words you could use then? And it's interesting when people track, you know, I use this word, but I really, if I had been more precise, I would have said this instead. And so developing a base mida that will lead to an appreciation or a connection to mitzvos. And so the base mida that we develop for someone who's not yet making brachos is just that ability to recognize, to be appreciative of Hakaras HaTov. And when you're recognizing and you have Hakaras HaTov on a constant basis, and then one day you decide, I want to make brachos, it's very easy. Because every time you're about to eat something, every time you see something extraordinary, you want to make a bracha anyway. You just don't know that you want to make a bracha. And then we implant the structure of Torah into that system, and you're home free. Then it falls in naturally. Torah and mitzvot just give us a structure to express the things that ideally are innate in us. Everything we're doing, anytime we're making a bracha, anytime we're doing many of our mitzvot, it's expressing an internal desire for Torah and spirituality and godliness, and this just gives us language that we can use. It just gives us an action I can take. Oftentimes we reverse engineer. You know, what in the world does shaking lulav have to do with anything godly? And so we have to learn about what are we doing in our shaking of the lulavs and going all around and bringing these four species together, and then I'll appreciate once I'm already doing it. Because But in an ideal world, at least the way the Rambam describes in Mor Nevuchim, we develop all those sensitivities, and then it would express itself in mitzvah form. Now we get to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, for those who are not as aware, was rationalist. He was an extraordinary thinker. He was a philosopher. And very rarely did he, from what I'm exposed to, did he delve into more Kabbalistic ideas. this is one area where he did, and I got very excited. So we're not going to get into all the specifics and all the language of Kabbalah. Kabbalah is actually very, very understandable, but a lot of times the language and terminology that people use gets us thrown off. There's probably a deeper level of Kabbalah that I haven't experienced that doesn't make any sense to me, but from what I've seen, it's not so hard. And so what Rav Soloveitchik describes is that God is, and this is something we're probably familiar with, is God's the ultimate giver. God is the ultimate good. God just wants to give to us. That's an unpleasant relationship, that for us to only be receiving all the time, just get and get and get and never be able to do anything, never be able to give. I was told the greatest chesed you could do for someone might be letting them do something for you. I used to help one of the rabbeim in the Old City often set up for Shabbos, because they would always have like 15 guests and there was like a lot of stuff going on, so I'd help them set up, and she always insisted that I take kugel out of Shabbos. I'm like, I don't want to eat it. Like, you don't have any food. I don't need to take your food. But I was told that you have to take some, because she doesn't want to just receive. She wants to be able to give also. So for us, when we're receiving from God, it's a little uncomfortable. It's a little bit weird to just receive and not to be able to give. So God says, fine, you can do mitzvos. You can do mitzvos, and then I'll receive from you. But by God saying that, as soon as I ask something of you, I'm creating a hole within myself. I'm creating a gap. Because as soon as I need something from you, then I'm not complete unless you do it for me. I asked for water, and yeah, I can go up and get water myself, but if I've asked you to do it, then I'm not going to be full and complete unless you've brought that water to me. So God says, I want you to make 100 brachos in a day. And even though God is usually the giver, the mashpia, to use his terminology, the dukra, but the giver, more importantly, and we're the receiver in all of the brachos that we get, and that's what we're recognizing. When we make brachos, when we make a bracha, we're also flipping the tables. We're also changing it, and God becomes the receiver, because we're saying, God, you wanted us to be able to give to you, so now we're going to give. We're going to say that really, if we're being honest, the food in front of me is mine. I have it. No one is stopping me from eating it right now, and I'm going to say, no, I'm going to make this yours. I'm going to make this part of you. I'm going to say this food wouldn't be here if you did not bring it in, and in that way, we give to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so 100 times a day, we have a chance to reverse the tables, to change it, and say that we're not just going to be receivers, we're going to be givers. And that's why when Moshe says, you know, what's God asking for you? Just fear him and love him and all the different stages that he wants you to do. And how are we supposed to do all that? Just make 100 brachos in a day. Fearing God and loving God and having such an elaborate relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not so easy. But when you make the relationship more elaborate, more diverse, to develop it to not just me receiving, but to me also giving, that there's a give and take, it's much easier to have more emotion involved. And so by making 100 brachos in a day, by appreciating the brachos that we're making, we're creating that much more of a connection. We're not just receiving, we're also giving. So that's the wrap on brachos. Next week's going to be our final week. Ooh. And then we're going to have to take a few weeks break because, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. and then I don't know exactly what day we'll be back, but I'm sure we'll all make sure that you know. But we're